Hey folks, it's the Sisters with the Confessions of a Reluctant Caregiver show on UK Health Radio. This episode is part of our special series, Heroes Caring for Heroes. Today, we're featuring organizations who offer services and support to our hero caregivers. Now, let's listen in as we learn more about these amazing organizations. Well, good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Natalie.
And how are you doing?
I am fantastic.
Oh, you know what? It feels like a good day to learn about another amazing military support educational organization.
It does. And today we have Vantage Point Foundation with us, and they are a nonprofit organization serving post 9/11 veterans and veteran spouses and partners across South Carolina. And this is important. It's as they transition out of military service. Mm-hmm. Their programs are designed to address transition challenges, which immediately we all, you know, have challenges, identify obstacles, and provide the support and connection that they need in the community. So today we have with us Catherine Drummond, who's the Director of Operations and Partner Program Coordinator, and Dawn Hoffman, who is the Nurse Case Manager. It's important to say that they have a lot of experience in the military.
Catherine, yes, they do.
Was in the military. She was not, you know, she served as a spouse, because I like to say that. She served
as
well.
I'm going to say she served as well.
She served as well.
Silently serving.
She's a reservist. She was there as a spouse for 28 years, and Dawn was also in service as a spouse for 30 years. So these resources are experienced. So welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Love an educational podcast. It's just like a podcast, but I put the word education in front of it.
I know.
We finally live up to that.
I know. Right. So you guys, you help with the transition, which I love, because tell us about Vantage Point Foundation. Like, tell us why, like there's Vantage Point. Tell us, you know, why you guys originated, but tell us the why behind it. Why is it so important?
We originated as a veteran nonprofit serving those who got out of transition or who got out of the military. So two of our founding members kind of worked together, one in the nursing space and helping, was it Wounded Warrior Regiment? It was basically both in active service. Mm-hmm. And this was during a heavy kind of Iraq, Afghanistan time when service members that were transitioning out had multiple kind of war-related issues going on. And mm-hmm. eventually the Marine Corps kind of shuts down this program and things get limited. And the two of them kind of recognize, hey, there's this gap that exists post-service.
Mm-hmm.
Out, right? And you do all the things that you have to do to transition out. As you can imagine, it's government. There's a lot of paperwork. Mm-hmm. Right.
But you I don't think you just say, I'd like to leave or retire, and it happens in 24 hours, right?
If only.
Because I think it takes months, doesn't it, to exit the military?
Oh, goodness. There's all these checklists. There's all this kind of time frame. Well, at 90 days, you do this. You can imagine it's very, right?
Right.
But you cross over into that threshold, and now you've done all the administrative stuff. And now you're a veteran. So now where do you go to get that support? Who's talking to you about what your purpose is? Because military is a really purpose-driven life.
Right.
You know, so what is your purpose? What's going on with you for your health and well-being? In service, you have a lot of buddies and a lot of support and resources through those connections. Where are those connections now? So we offer some to veterans, some in-depth courses and trainings. We offer that look primarily at purpose and health and well-being. There are all kinds of ingredients that go into that, you know, mm-hmm. talking about autonomy, talking about having a veteran mentor, a veteran-to-veteran mentor, having Dawn, who's our case management, who can get people connected to different aspects of maybe health and well-being things that are going on. So that's kind of serving veterans, but we were really, really lucky. And this spouse partner part of this would not exist, but for one of the founding members, a lady named Kim Bradley,
mm-hmm.
who was also a 20 plus year military spouse who also happened to be a nurse. and knew, hey, when you have a veteran that is struggling or a veteran that is trying to find their footing, the majority of veterans are married or in long-term committed relationships, right? So if you're going to talk about this veteran holistically, you've got to talk about that unit. And so that's why the spouse partner program, I guess, is what I'm better able to answer, which is, I'm going to go back to thinking about military. You've got this person that's transitioning, and we understand with a military person, like, wow, that would be really hard. We get that. We study that. We know there are lots of people looking at that space, but there's somebody who's simultaneously transitioning alongside that military service member, and healthcare is changing, and their life is changing, and their community is changing. And when a veteran or when a military service member gets out, they become a veteran, right? Whether they use the support and services that are connected to that, whether they take part in that community, that's up to them. But the community exists. As a spouse, nothing. You're just there.
You're kind of blown to the wind. It reminds me of those like little fuzzy things that you blow, Jay, in the backyard that are, think are weeds that are pretty. Dandelions.
Well, I think one of the things also that makes it unique is the fact that the challenges that the military community and then the veteran community experience is different in the fact that so much of the time there was kind of a cloak of secrecy. Not everybody, you know, one of the issues we had is, and I was a personal issue with our family in particular was, you know, as struggles started happening and more symptoms of PTSD were popping up, don't tell anybody about it. Let's try to get through it. And so all these people are experiencing all these same challenges and issues and problems, but there's not a name to it. And we don't want to share what's going on because, you know, our military members, they wanted to stay functional and relevant, and we don't want anything getting in the way of the mission. And then, so not only issues happening while active duty is going on, but then the transition out, they don't go away. The problems don't go away. And the less people were talking about it, the harder it was getting at home. And so we're finding that as we can just sit down and say, what's happening? And, you know, for my particular situation, having Kim Bradley, who was one of the founders of Vantage Point, sitting on my couch and talking to my husband and I and not being shocked at what we were experiencing with the crazy behavior that was new, but that there was a name to it and that there was a reason and a causality. And we're starting to pull together some resources that are addressing it and just imparting some hope for people that are experiencing it. This has just given us an avenue to be able to talk about the fact that this is something that people are experiencing, and we can support that, and we're not shocked by it. There are resources out there we can get you connected to, and we're willing to listen and walk alongside you with this.
Dawn, was there more support when you, I know that you have kind of a tribe, or I feel like that's the case when you're on the bases, you can build that. But when you, do you lose that when you come out of the military? Do you find that those people that you've kind of left behind, that stays? And that's why this resource is so important with Vantage Point?
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. We live in just a regular American neighborhood now. Most of my neighbors are not affiliated with the military. So when, you know, my husband was like, yeah, you know, we're invited to a barbecue, and he's like, I just can't go. I can't deal with it. I can't deal with people. And trying to explain what's going on to somebody who has not been in that space is really difficult and frustrating. And then you tend to not want to talk to anybody, and you pull back and isolate a little bit. And it's just unhealthy. So giving people a place to talk about it, and giving people just the space and the opportunity to realize, one, it's happening to a lot of people. You know, we're all dealing with different levels of transition stress, whether you were an active duty spouse or you connected with your veteran after they were in active duty, we're all experiencing some of these same challenges at home. And there is a way to connect and realize you're not alone in it.
So for me, kind of going back to defining that space, and Natalie, you and I had talked before about it. It's, you know, you get out and your service member becomes the veteran and you become the other person who's also getting out, who's also trying to find employment and trying to figure out where the kids are going to go to school or get the kids off to college, whatever that looks like, trying to get our arms around this group and what we were going to do and how we were going to try and provide support, and recognizing we can't be everything to all people, right? How do we first begin to even define this space? Because it's a space nobody talks about.
Mm-hmm.
People don't talk about the other half of the veteran, right? So how do we wrap our arms around that? We know our stories. We know what our experience has been as career military families. But, you know, how do we do this? So mm-hmm. we kind of looked at what are the two poles. We've got this on one side, you've got this everything where we're out, we transitioned out, it was smooth, it was great. We bought a house, got kids in school, got a job, everything's wonderful. I'm sure those people exist. If you come across them, I would like
let to us know.
I'm sure they're out there. And so you've got that extreme, right? Everything's great. It was fine. And then you've got the extreme wounded, injured, ill. I am a full-time caretaker to my military service member. And in between these two extremes is this vast gray area. And that's the space that we don't understand, that we don't know, that nobody's really studying. But what we do know is that the unit, the family relationship, the person that the veteran loves the most and who loves the veteran most, the person that advocates for that veteran more than anybody you're going to see or come in contact with, right? Who's fierce. What we do know is if you're not talking about serving a veteran and talking about those two people and how to support both, because they need each other and that relationship is so fundamental to health and well-being, that there's a gap there.
Mm. You're leaving one part out. You know, I think, you know, Dawn, what resonated with me so much is you're exactly right. Like, I've got a lot of friends who are in the military, and I think about you. I know it's like foster parents. Foster parents hang out together. Military families hang out together. They all have, they have shared people. Gravitate towards their people, and they are like-minded. They have shared experiences, that sort of thing. And honestly, I could see it. I see that whole, like, okay, now we're separating. It's almost like you're breaking up and we're separating from the family. And so
they know your craziness and you don't even have to explain it.
Yeah. And they know, yeah, because everybody's like, oh yeah, that happened. And nobody's sitting there like, what?
Right.
And then when you go into the civilian world, and it's funny, I like how you said, you know, a normal, like a civilian neighborhood. And I think that's really funny because I'm like, oh, that's so totally true, because you've been living right. all together, everybody in the neighborhoods, and nobody's thinking it's, you know, like, why does everybody have so many flags around here? Oh, it's a base. And so, you know what I mean? And so I think that resonates with me, because then I could see where your husband would be like, what am I going to talk to these people about? Right. They haven't, you know what, and I don't mean to sound hateful, but it's almost like, yeah, it's cute. You went to work today. Like, my work look a little bit different. Oh yeah, I know you carry concealed. Look at you. Well, my concealed is bigger. And
or when he just wasn't feeling well, and exactly. trying to explain the why, you yeah. know, that's the hard part. And in that community with other spouses, you don't have to explain why. They no. get why. Yeah. And they don't take offense to it. Yeah. And you don't feel like you have to explain everything. And so, yeah. and it is, it's a knowing. And just an ability to be, and there are a lot of unspokens with the yeah. military spouse community. And that's, again, what we try to foster, is that sense of community and giving spouses, even, you know, we try to even have like little regional groups
mm-hmm.
where spouses can just go be together, and mm. you don't have to explain a lot, because it's just an understanding with each other that you don't get everywhere else. And so we really do try to foster that within our program as well. That's one little arm that we are working on expanding, just because it's so important to have that sense that somebody gets it and you don't have to explain it.
After our last, one of the last courses that we did, about a month or so later, so we brought all these ladies together, and they were primarily ladies. I know there are males that are partners and spouses, but this was a course of all females. And I had one of the ladies call and say, you know, I just had lunch with so-and-so.
Radio. UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And she had been through one of your courses. And if it wasn't for y'all, we wouldn't know each other. And it was so nice to go and have lunch and just relax with somebody who understood. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's what we want. We want to give you the opportunity. We had that, like you said, we had that on base. You mm-hmm. move to base and you're lost and you're in a new place in a new city and somebody ding dongs on the doorbell or knocks or whatever because they see the moving truck and they're like, hey, here's your doctors and here's the list of where you go get your hair done and here's the great schools and here's, you have all that help. And then you get out and, you know, the neighbors across the street see the moving van. They don't care. They're not coming over to your door to say.
That's totally true.
Right. You may need a doctor and you may not know how to find the grocery store. And you may not even know that the name Save-A-Lot is a grocery store, you know. So it's kind of trying to create that community in the same way that a veteran enjoys the space with other veterans. There are spouses that enjoy and need the space with other spouses. And I know my husband and I went through a really difficult time. Now, Dawn and I's relationship, we knew each other, had met when we were pregnant and both pregnant with our first child. Without dating us too much.
You guys have known each other for 4 years.
Why?
Sure,
there you go. Right.
We met just last week. So we met, we know each other, we're friends, and there's an instantaneous thing to friendship in the military. You instantly understand each other. You intimately know the lifestyle, and I may not intimately know you, but I gotcha. Mm-hmm. So we knew each other. And as it happened through the course of the next 20 some odd years of back and forth war deployments, every time we were arriving in a location, she was leaving. So we'd get there and be like, oh, Dawn's here. Oh, Dawn's going. So we knew each other. It's not like we were hanging out all the time, but we knew each other. And then fast forward, and my husband and I hit this spot, this part where it's like, who in the world is this person? What is happening? You expect things when they first return back from a war deployment. Mm-hmm. Don't expect it years later. Mm-hmm. So instead of going, oh, I understand this, I know exactly what this is, you're much more likely to say, this man, I'm going to, right?
Kill him.
Yeah. Right? Yes. Can I say that?
Yes. Oh, yes. No.
I'm going to hug him very hard. So I'm having a really hard time. Like Dawn said, it is, you do feel secrecy around it. You know, this is a fully functioning, very together man, and we're a together family, and this weird stuff is happening. And I don't know why. I'm going to say divine intervention. Dawn came to mind. I have no idea why she came to mind. But I find Dawn. I don't do anything with social media. I really don't do any of that. And y'all, I was signing up for a Twitter account because I saw Dawn Hoffman and I'm going to get in touch with her. This is the person
I've never tweeted ever in my life.
I'm mostly Twitty.
Nothing on it.
And I find her and I get her number. And I call and I say, hey, and immediately my voice starts to shake because I'm just needing somebody. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, hey, girl. And I was like, is this a good place? Is this a good time for you to talk? And she's like, well, I'm in an airport. We're heading to Okinawa. They were moving to Okinawa. She was in the airport getting ready to board the plane. But she sat and talked to me and said, I remember this. you're going to be okay.
Mm.
It's going to be okay.
Mm.
So to have that, and then kind of unbeknownst to either of us, neither of us was connected to Vantage Point at the time. There was this third connection of Kim Bradley that I didn't know Dawn was good friends with, and she didn't know I was good friends with. And as I moved to South Carolina, guess who's in South Carolina? Dawn and Randy. And guess who's working for Vantage Point? Dawn Hoffman. And the connection there was my good friend Kim, who said, hey, why don't you come to one of our spouse courses? So between this triangle of the three of us, it was like, oh my, again, kind of divine intervention. But if we can have three people who understand and know and help each other and are a voice for one another, there are thousands of us out there. And it was just the connection. What is that connection? And what if we start talking about what that space looks like? Mm-hmm. What if we start bringing women together and spouses and partners and military members together and saying, you know, hey, your health and well-being matters and your connection to one another matters.
Mm. It is what gets us through it. Go ahead, Jay.
Tell us, I hear Dawn saying, I hear both of you saying, these are some of the supports. Tell us about the supports that you offer the spouses and partners, not just the meetings. Tell us about the groups. Tell us if I'm a spouse or a partner that really needs, tell us what I get. How do I get in contact with you, first of all? Where are you? And tell us what.
Now, what do I get?
What do I get? What's my prize?
You get a lovely t-shirt. Thank you for playing.
Exactly. Spin the wheel.
Right, right. Obviously, you can get in touch with us through Vantage Point Foundation website and get in more information. We offer courses, so we'll bring spouses in, and we offer a 1 or 2 day course that's really largely focused on well-being and purpose and all of those things. And the big thing is the connection to one another, the opportunity to connect to one another. We're in South Carolina. We are South Carolina specific. We serve the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
And then outside of that, we have Dawn, who can connect you to if there are other things going on. We say we're not therapists. I can help you find a therapist if that's what you need. We're not.
But I can listen to you all day long. I will listen. And the power of having somebody to sit and listen and pay attention to what you're saying and understand what you're saying and then say, listen, I've got some resources here. I've got some connections I can get you with is hugely powerful. And I think to me, one of the best things that we do. And so anyone that comes into the program, you can vantagepointfoundation.org is our website. You can get information on that. But if you are not within the state of South Carolina, we will get you in contact with somebody that can support you where you are.
Okay.
I don't let anybody, I even work with veterans from, you know, all over the place. May not specifically be able to pull them into Vantage Point in South Carolina, but I will get you connected where you need to be. So we don't let anyone slip through the cracks.
And what you're talking about, and so for some people are like, oh, I get that, but peer support, that's exactly what it is. And it's, and we've talked about this on other podcast episodes about the power of peer support. And that's just what the mental health community names it. It's absolutely, it, but we just call that, you know, relationship building in normal people words. Like I have the same experiences as you and I can empathize with you and I can, and even if I don't, I can seek to understand. That's and right. I can seek to, and simply the act of seeking to understand and not necessarily solving. Cause I know Dawn, probably sometimes you're probably just like, cause a lot of times, you know, I'll call JJ up and we're not military, but I'll call JJ and I'm like, I don't need an answer. I just need to just word vomit.
That's
right. And so I don't need you to fix it. And we know that men love to fix it. Sorry, guys.
Oh, yeah.
But, and women, but we'll be like, and then what happened? Pour the glass of wine and let's get on it. And so, so I think there's so much to be said there. So it sounds like information and referral so that you can help with getting them, you know, but really it starts with listening. It starts with seeking to understand and then, okay, I hear these are some areas that you could use some support in. This is how we can do that for you. Rather, we provide it directly with health and well-being, and this is how you can get through it. Or
I can get you connections through other organizations who we walk alongside with.
Absolutely. And we, Kat and I had the conversation as well, you know, for those listening that have a resource that they are actively involved with or work for, and you work with spouses, let us know. Shoot us an email on our website and let us know so that we've got as many resources as we can compile. This has to be a team effort. And I think there are resources out there, you know, many smaller resources like Vantage Point that do great work and are small enough to really get intimate, which is another just super important aspect of it. Is we're not built on numbers, but really intimacy and relationships. Mm. And the more we can get that we can, you know, refer out to, the better. So let us know.
Mm. I think it's kind of that raising awareness, you know, that this space is important, the work with both halves of the veteran are important. Dawn and I were talking, even within our little small community, there's another small nonprofit, a nonprofit called Warrior Surf, and they have a spouse and partner program. They serve the whole family. They do different things than we do, but it's like, yay, let's celebrate that. I would love to know what other organizations that are out there that maybe aren't even in South Carolina. We have a lot of service members because of the bases that are transitioning out, and we serve them, and they may not be staying here.
Mm-hmm. So, Kat, one of the things that we talked about was some initial thoughts on your programming, and then you felt like you had to take a step back, and that's where that wellness piece comes in. So could we dive a little bit deeper into what that looks like? Because I think, you know, it's not just about skill building. Mm-mm. So maybe a little bit dive deeper into that.
Well, and I, health and well-being to me, I think it particularly, you know, the bulk of the spouses that and partners we work with are women. And again, we do work with men, but, you know, as women and families, whether you have children or not, you tend to be the hub. And when mom's okay, or the wife's okay, everybody else is okay. Mm-hmm. And we don't really take the time to pay attention. We're never intentional with just how am I doing on the whole? You know, we may be, you know, go to our dental appointments, or we may go to medical appointments, but well-being and whole health is so much bigger than that. Mm-hmm. It encompasses every part of who you are. And we just don't take the time to be intentional about that. So that's kind of the first piece that we try to do, is just help people be aware of how are you doing? What's working for you? What isn't working for you? And the things that are not working for you, where could that become friction in your life? You know, we do want you to pursue purpose, but when you're not well, or you've got pieces in your life that just aren't working, let's take a look at those. We actually have something called a whole health profile tool, mm-hmm. that the CDC worked with Vantage Point Foundation and helped us create this data point, mm-hmm. To where we take a series of three surveys, and these compile down to break into the 8 domains of health and well-being. Mm-hmm. And we do use the VA's framework for that because it really works well.
Okay.
And then it gives you a snapshot. It's not prescriptive, but just a snapshot of where you're doing at that given time in the 8 different domains of well-being. And where there's some lower scores, it just gives you a springboard of, okay, why would that be low? Why did I perceive this as a low area? And are there areas within that I can zero in on and figure out so that it's not causing me to stumble, or it's not an obstacle in really kind of getting my life going in the direction I want it to go? Because I think without purpose, it's very difficult to want to look at well-being. And if you're not well, it's very difficult to pursue purpose. So we try to put those together. It just makes sense that you can't have one without the other. So that's kind of became the hub of what we're doing, not only with the spouses, but the veterans as well. That's the angle we're taking with them as well.
Mm-hmm. So we were, Dawn has used the example of, as the spouse in the relationship, you're so often the maypole. Mm-hmm. Everything extends out from you. Everybody, you stand still so everybody can move around you, right? And we realize that when we're leaning heavily into purpose, we have these families who've transitioned out and we've got a spouse and we're talking about, you know, well, what's really purposeful for me? Where do you want to, and people talk about, oh, find your purpose. What are you going to do next? And we recognize that when your purpose is, I'm trying to get through the day. Do I have the oranges?
Without choking you.
Right. Do I have the shin guards and the apple slices and I am just trying to get to 8 o'clock tonight with everybody's homework done and everything. Like if you ask any mom, spouse, partner, you know, like what matters most to you, it's that everybody in my life is taken care of. Mm. Well, great. As cliche as it sounds, how do we strap on your own oxygen mask so that you can continue to be that maypole? Because if the maypole collapses, it's done.
No, you're right.
You're all in trouble. Mm-hmm. So how do we talk meaningfully and balanced about what it is to take care of yourself? And I'm not saying, you know, hey, let's train for a marathon.
My knees can't do it.
Right? I just...
I can walk, though.
Right. Well, we laugh, and I say, you know, at this particular time, this in space in my life when things kind of got really bad, and we were dealing with behaviors and things that you didn't understand from both of us, and lots of unresolved issues that are just part of this life.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I say, you know, I had started in therapy, I'd started doing all these things, but I needed to move. I needed to, you know, like I wanted the therapist to be like a doctor's appointment. There's a cream, there's a salve, there's a pill.
Sound like a true military person. Like, have we gotten to the end yet or not?
Right. We've got to go. We got to move. We're moving out. So my need to do something was like, okay, I don't know what this mindfulness is. I don't know what this health and well-being, I don't know what any of that mess is of the magazines I'm reading standing in the grocery store line, but I'm going to start somewhere. And I started with, y'all, this was so basic. I'm going to floss my teeth every night and I'm going to brush for those 2 minutes every night. Like that, it was that basic, right? I'm going to go get myself a Sonicare toothbrush. And I'm going to get the mint floss and I'm going to give myself 3 whole minutes every night that I am not going to let go of. My dentist loves me, by the way.
Well, you do have great teeth in case get on Zoom to see Kat's teeth. Thank you. Yeah.
But that was, you know, it's kind of like somebody that understands like, hey, that's as basic as you can get. I'm trying to remember to eat and to take a shower and to not hurt anybody I love. Because I'm going to keep all of them really tight. And having somebody understand that in the context of the military experience, you know, and then recognizing, okay, like Dawn and I've said, these are our stories. What is the person that married the veteran that doesn't understand, wow, November is a really hard month based on that Iraq deployment or that Afghanistan? Where does that person go to have understanding?
Well, they don't necessarily see the inception and the why, you know, where at least I feel like when you're in it from the beginning, it's like, well, you can see how it unfolded.
Right. Yeah. It's March. Now I get it.
Well, and it's exactly that. Exactly that. I think it's really important for folks to remember, again, that while your spouse was in the military and so were you. And that it was a significant month for them, and to be mindful that it was a significant month for you, because while they were going, you were staying and you had change, and that is every time we all, as humans, we love change, not. And so we like predictability and stability, and military does not offer that. They offer predictability and structure and policy and procedures, but you're moving, you're this, you're that. I mean, at least you're like, well, at least every 2 years we know we're going somewhere else. So that's kind of predictable. But I think about the loss that you have because you lost your spouse for a window of time. And then when they come back, you're like, whoa, you're coming back into my routine and you're asking me to change my routine that the kids and I had gotten down. Our younger sister, I wish she was here to be able to speak to that and how it was for her in the Air Force. Right. That change in routine is hard.
It is. Absolutely the assimilation with that is much harder than getting used to them being away. But, you know, we've had the discussion before as well, where there's an element of grief almost that not only just for the physical loss of them being home, but then the grief of them coming back and not being quite exactly what left, or the person you felt like you married, part of that's changed and it's morphed, and some of it may come back, some of it may not, but there's a level of that kind of longing for what we had prior to this whole mess kicking off. So
I can totally relate to that. Yeah. The before and then the after, right? And your new normal. And but you shifted your normal every time. How many times did you have to shift into a new normal?
Right.
And you think about
the stable, especially when kids were involved, you had to be the stable in the middle of all the unstable. Mm-hmm. And mom was always okay. You know, my laugh, I've told Kat this, I got a Christmas card from my son a couple of years ago. He's in his 20s. And it just said, to the one person in the family that hasn't worried us at one point or another.
Well, and that's a mama. It is true. And I hate to say it's a stereotypical role, but it is the stereotypical role that the women are, we're like, we are. I love the My Big Fat Greek Wedding where, you know, the husband is the head, but I am the neck.
Yes.
And I turn the head.
Yes. That's right. Right. And roll if I'm not there.
That's right. Yeah, your head will roll if I'm not there. Oh my gosh. I'm going to tell you, I feel like we've gone a little bit to church, Jay.
I know. I have learned a lot. And I feel like I need like that mental health and wellness. I could utilize their services. So I need something in the civilian world for this.
Well, the whole health, you know, I think what got me was when you said the whole health survey and that you all worked with the VA and it lines up with the 8 areas of wellness. And I'm like, I feel like I need to get my hands on that. I worked at 25 years in the mental health field. And I'm like, this is what sounds like a lot of caregivers could benefit. I know some of it's going to lean towards the military and things like that, but health and wellness is health and wellness. It's just, what's the situation and how do you modify the instrument a little teeny bit to say this area or this area, but the general areas of overall health and wellness, how's it impacting home, you know,
absolutely,
all that stuff. I think that is something that could be really beneficial. I'd like to get my hands on that, Dawn.
Maybe you'll find one in your inbox.
Ooh, I love it when I have an instrument to play with. That would be awesome. I just think that's really important. So, because you're right. Sometimes the first step to helping you is an awareness. Like, oh man. And then you see it and you're like, yeah.
Right.
That's true.
We can get so used to going through the day numb and just your day to day, and you don't even take time to think about how different areas of your life are affecting the other areas, and everything's interconnected. Whether you want it to be or not, it's interconnected. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're not paying attention, things can start going south quickly if we're not paying attention to what's happening and addressing it.
Yeah, absolutely. So does the, this is my last question, Jay. I'm sorry. It's like a regular podcast. Cause I'm like, I love them. I don't want to play favorites. So how long can individuals be connected with you? Is this like we're besties forever, or it's intermittent, almost like therapy sometimes is intermittent. How's that work?
You do a 6-month continuum.
Okay.
And follow a little more organized for 6 months, but mm-hmm. I still work with veterans and spouses. I started on in 2018, working in this space, and I still get calls from people from years ago. So yeah, it's technically a 6-month.
Yeah.
There's a formal. There's a formal aspect, and then the informal is give us a call.
Right. We're not going anywhere. Yeah. So,
Gosh, I just think about, like, you know, Kat, we talked about this in our phone call. Like, Jay, I remember when I called you and I was like, oh my gosh, I talked to this awesome woman named Kat with Vantage Point, and like, we're besties now. She had no clue
that
she
finally got a hold of her.
So long.
She's got a new business.
Like, I was on the road and I was like, she's never getting off the phone. And so she was lucky she had a group. But just about, you know, there's so many organizations out there, and yet there are alarmingly, they're hard to find if you think about it. It's not, and once you know about it, you're like, hey, I've been seeing you 30 times. I've passed by your place 30 times, but until you get this awareness. And so, you know, hopefully anyone listening, please come onto our page and say, hey, I know about this group in my state. We've got a lookalike in my state. And this is, and that way Dawn and Kat get to use it as a resource and say, hey, you're in North Dakota, or you're in New York, or you're here. And, you know, and then how do we, I think there's such a great opportunity for these groups to start coming together. You know, I'd love to see the military be able to say, hey, we'd like to facilitate as part of our aftercare program. Mm-hmm. After, as our post-transition program, we're going to set up support groups, not only for veterans, but also for their spouses and partners, regardless of if you're in the caregiver support program or not. Right. Because that's there's qualifications for that. And you don't have to be in the caregiver support program to qualify to participate in Vantage Point. Is that correct?
Oh, correct. No.
Perfect. Oh, no. So everyone, very inclusive.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And we had talked about kind of on our phone call, you know, one of the things that I hope is that there's some wonderful organizations out there that are serving veterans. There are other nonprofits like us that are doing great things with veterans. And I won't name names, because this is a wonderful organization here in the state. And I think they have branches in other states that are doing great things with veterans. And I was so excited because it was such good stuff. And I went to them and I said, wow, this is really amazing. Do y'all do anything for partners of veterans? And the response was, well, absolutely. Once a year, we have a picnic and we ask the spouses to join us and bring a covered dish.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh.
Not so much, but thanks. That's what I was looking for. I'd love to cook.
Right.
And I do something else?
Up after everybody and come home exhausted. Sounds like time.
That's great. I'd love being supported.
Yeah. So if you're a veteran service organization, you know, maybe have that conversation like, wow, are the majority of veterans we're serving married? And what would it look like to do something that would
Well. Absolutely. Yeah.
That feels right. Let's serve the whole unit. Everybody understands a unit in the military. So
we say, you know, you hear people all the time, and you've probably saw this. I think I sent you a clip, and it's one of my things I say all the time. You hear, we love our military families and their families. We love our veterans and their families. And I think people really mean it. But what does "and their families" mean? What's the action there?
Mm, I like that. We went to church today on this one. That didn't feel like an educational one. We're just having fun. I love this. I'm going to be friends with Dawn. I'm going to come and hang out with Dawn and Kat down in South Carolina.
Absolutely.
Just remember, Virginia's for lovers, and JJ's down in the Keys, although she's got a better gig. She's on the water. So, I mean, you might want to, you might technically want to go visit her. I got some mountains, though. So we can ride bikes. And so.
For sure.
Ladies, thank you so much for coming and sharing more about Vantage Point Foundation. I'm so blessed that, you know, you guys were able to be a part of this. And we'll have more information about how you can get in touch with these ladies in the show notes. It's vantagepointfoundation.org. And go on and definitely check out their website. And then again, here's our ask. We didn't ask this from anybody else. Yeah. If you have other organizations that are like Vantage Point or other military supports that you want to throw in, feel free to email them to us or put them in when we're posting this in on our social medias. We would love that.
Thank y'all so much.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you for bringing the awareness. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Until we talk again.
Thank you for listening to our special series, Heroes Caring for Heroes, on UK Health Radio. Please visit our website to learn more about our featured organizations supporting our hero caregivers. But before you go, please take a moment to leave us a review and tell your friends about the Confessions podcast. Make sure you connect with us on your favorite social media site to stay up to date on all things caregiving. And of course, you'll find the video recording of our episodes on the Confessions website and our YouTube channel. We'll see you next time when we confess again.